Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. This is truly a day that God has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. You know, God, if you call this number tonight, God has given you breath, and you're still in the land of the living. And if we look all around us, we see people are dying every day. But you see, if you are listening to my voice, you are still in the land of the living. And God saw fit to allow you to still be here. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing in and of itself. But as always, I'm happy. I am so happy tonight, guys, for all kind of reasons. And just because God is allowing us to be here in this season. I want to first thank God, the author and the finisher of my faith, for allowing us one more time to come together, to allow us to come to his throne of grace, no matter what state we're in. You know, we're not maybe where we want to be, but we're not where we used to be, and we're trying to grow and learn day by day, and that's what God asks of us. But I have to thank God for just allowing us to do this, that he saw fit and he makes it happen and allow it to happen every Wednesday. I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and explore the Word of God together. As always, this is not my Bible study. It is our Bible study. And I do invite participation. I do invite comments and concerns. If someone want to pray, they can pray. If someone want to sing, they could sing. So we could have fellowship. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to go into this tonight. I just feel like praying. And if anybody in the audience would like to pray, even if you're on the phone or if you're on the internet, if you're listening on the internet, you have to dial a call-in number. And once you dial a number, you press the one button on your phone. It will prompt me in the studio, and I can open a mic, and you could talk, and everyone could hear. For those who are listening by telephone, all you have to do is press the one button on your phone, and I will open the mic, and you could speak to the masses. But at this time, since no one pressed the button, let us go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, we enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Heavenly Father, we want to take time right now just to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for what you are allowing us to do. And thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, dear God, and all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. Lord, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus, and for your sweet Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for living. Heavenly Father, even with all of the thanking and the praising going up, Lord, there are some people that are going through trials and tribulations. Heavenly Father, just let them know that they're not alone, because your word said you'll never leave them nor forsake them. And they can hold on to it, and they can trust it, because if you said it, you'll do it, because you cannot lie. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you touch every home that is represented here tonight. Lord, bless them in the blessings that they're in need of. Dear God, give them a clear mind, dear God. Regulate their heart. Remove all doubts and fears from their lives, because it's going to be all right, because we realize that the battle is not ours, it's yours. Have your way, dear God. Some is in need of one thing and some are in need of another thing, dear God, but you know. And Lord, you know, it's not about my will, but it's your will. And you told us to make our petitions known. And Heavenly Father, I'm coming to your throne of grace, asking for mercy. asking for grace for each and every situation that is represented here tonight. I pray that you rebuke Satan long enough that they could hear the word that you're going to bring through me tonight, dear God, and that your word won't return void, but it would accomplish what you have set it out to do. Heavenly Father, we're going to be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise because you're worthy. There's no other name besides the name of Jesus, where every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. But Lord, we're asking that you be with us through this program. I'm asking that each and every one of us that are listening on the internet, that we be prayerful with expectations of the word that's going to come through, that's going to be a word for you, a rhema word, a new word, a fresh word that could get you from point A to point B. And Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you in your darling son Jesus' name, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives and dwells. And thank you for being our God. Amen. And thank God. And it's good to be back again. I see that the calls are coming in. I'm thankful. And I want you to know that the lesson tonight is life is full of trials and temptations. But God have a word for you because he said, it's only a test. Again, life is full of trials and temptations. God has a word for you that it is only a test. The scripture is coming from James, the first chapter, the second through the eighth verse. If you have your Bible, if not, write it down so you can read it. Remember, you know, the word of God is for each and every one of us. And God appreciate, as well as I, that you tune in every night and you get the word of God. But God, the scripture says in Timothy 2 and 15 that you have to study to show yourself approved. You have to study for yourself. Because you see, if you really don't know what the word said, you really can't expect the word to do what you don't know what it said. If you really don't read for yourself, you won't have the assurance. If you don't read for yourself, you don't know the promises. If you don't read for yourself, where would the correction and rebuke be? So the lesson is coming from James, the first chapter, the second through the eighth verse. And right now I'm going to play a song, and the name of the song is The Battle Is Not Yours. It belongs to God, and it is so appropriate for this lesson tonight because we're going to talk about trials, tribulation, and temptations. And the word of God lets us know that it is only a test. And the record is going to go forth. We're going to come back, and we're going to get into the lesson. And I'm sorry, the name of this record is This Too Shall Pass. I had both of them in my head, but this is the one that's appropriate, most appropriate. All I can say is hallelujah. For people that's on the telephone, I want you to know that I cannot hear anything that's going on in your house or around you, because some people be concerned about that. The only way we would be able to hear you or hear anything that's going on if you press the one button. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start the lesson on tonight. And as the records say, that he put no more on you than you could bear, and this too shall pass, and not by your might or your strength, but by his strength. And I pray that the lesson bring all of that out, and we could be even stronger once it's over. And again, for those who wasn't on in the beginning, the name of the lesson is Life is Full of Trials and Temptations. And the Word of God wants us to know that it is only a test. We're coming from the book of James, the first chapter, the second through the eighth verse. You know, every time I do a lesson, if it's someone that wrote the book of the Bible or something about the Bible or something about the subject, I always give a little background. So tonight I'm telling you that the book of James was written by James. And this James who wrote the book of James was Jesus' half-brother. James and Jesus had the same mother, Mary, but James' biological father was Joseph, but Jesus' biological father was the Almighty God, impregnated by his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You see, James, along with his brothers, they didn't believe that Jesus was the one. You know, sometimes it's hard for people to believe that so close to you that you have a special gift or that God has anointed or appointed you to do this or to do that. But while Jesus was on earth and he was walking and he started his ministries, his brothers, along with many of the other Jews, didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. You know, the book of James is called a letter and could be considered a how-to-do book for Christian living. The pages of this letter are full of confrontations, challenges, and a call to commitment. The book is loaded with challenges to our faith. It challenges our faith and the result of obedience and good deeds that prove your faith. You see, James uses bold illustrations and pointed reminders that are meant to motivate the believer to perform good work. He brings a light to Jesus' message that a tree is known by its fruit. You see, James is known for his writing. His most popular writing is coming out of James, the second chapter and the 17th verse, which says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." You know, we read that and we hear what James saying. It could get a lot of people confused because the Word of God tells us we're not saved by works. And all of our works are filthy dish rags. But when you study and you know and you understand, you could understand what both of them mean. And they're not contradicting themselves. It's just some people who want to find fault in it. You know, they use that different point to bring it up. You see, Paul wrote in Ephesians, they say we are saved by grace, by faith, and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not works, lest any man boast. Now, when you look at those two, it seems like they're contradicting in themselves, but in essence, they're really not. You see, they're showing that each one is important and equally as important, not that one is all by itself, all good, but both of them are necessary to do what God asks us to do. You see, we are saved by grace through faith alone. Don't get it twisted, alone. You could never do good enough. You could never be good enough. It's a gift. And if anybody could have been good enough to do it, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. And this, what it's saying is, yes, we are saved by grace through faith alone. True. But if you operate in the faith that you received once you got saved, everyone should be able to see your works. You don't work to be saved, but once you are saved, you should work because of the wonderful free gift you received. James is not merely speaking of faith and works, but faith that works. You see, a lot of people is just so beat down and downtrodden because they have faith, but they don't work it. They have their faith, and sometimes it seems like they set it on a shelf or it's just a word to them. Do you know what faith is and what faith does and how you work faith and how it builds you up, how it carries you through, how it strengthens you in the midnight hour? Have you ever worked your faith? Again, James is not merely speaking of faith and works, but faith that works. You know, a lot of people have been in a Christian walk for years and years and years and don't look like they, you know, they faith might not be doing them some good sometime in the late in the midnight hour. But you know, you got to work your faith. You see, in the salutation of the letter in the book of James, he calls himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving Christ all of the honor that's doing. You see, you know, he didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but after Jesus died on the cross, was buried and resurrected, he began to believe, and 30 years later, he wrote this book. But when he wrote this book, he's given honor to his brother and honor to his Savior in this letter, and that's the book of James, and I encourage you to check it out. And we're going to go with the first chapter, and we're going to be on the second verse. And the scripture reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation." You see, the word diver here means many. And James makes the statement that when you fall, he did not say if you fall. Okay, let's look at that. It's in the Bible. The Bible was written by man, but inspired by God, so we believe what the Bible says. So James is telling us when you fall, not if you fall. So let all of us realize today we're going to have trials, tribulation, and temptations in our lives until Jesus come back and get us. All right? So whatever you're going through, the Bible said that you would, not if, but when. You see, this life, we'll have divers, like I say, which mean many of temptations. And temptation is a form of testing. You know, but the temptation can come from many places. It could come from the world and Satan, or from God unto us Christians. See, your negative experiences ought to be accepted with joy. Not that the trial, it's not for the trial itself, because nobody don't want no pain, no suffering, no hardship, no heartache, no heartbreak. But not for the trial, but for the positive work God can accomplish through the testing. You see, God is in control and has designed everything that happens in your life before the foundation of the world. It is already written. Do you believe it? So you just trust him. You know, when I say the word trust God, plenty of people say, I trust God. But let me tell you what trusting means. Trusting means is that you act like God knows best. You know, children don't always trust their parents because the children believe they know more than the parent. You see, when a trust is developed, that's mean when you trust the person's ability and trust that the person got your best interest at heart and trust that the person is going to do everything necessary to get you where you need to be. That's like a good parent. What more our Heavenly Father God would do for us? Trust him. You see, the joy James is speaking about can only be accomplished if you had the blessing assurance that you are a child of God. Do you know that you are a child of God and that he is your Father and Jesus is your Savior and the Holy Spirit is your comforter and your God? Do you have the blessed assurance? Do you know that you know that you know? You see, once you know who you are and understand that there's a difference between happy and joy, you will understand that joy stands in the midst of the storm and happy is blown away with the winds of the storm. Use my illustration again. Happy happens when something happens. Somebody come along and they give you $1 million. You happy as can be. Let's say you won the lottery and you won $1 million and somebody came and robbed you. You're not happy anymore. You see, that's how happy works. Happy works when something happened that you want to happen. We know life is not like that. But you see, when God and James is talking about this joy, joy could be all right no matter what state you're in, no matter what you're going through. You lost your job, but I'm going to have joy until God delivers something else to me. My health is not good, but God is a healer. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. See, that's the joy. Late in the midnight hour when they tell you that something happened to your child, you say, I'm going to trust the Lord. Anyhow, you see, that's joy. Have you had any joy in your life lately? Have you been operating in joy? As soon as something happens, you get defeated. Remember, you see, joy stands in the midst of a storm, and happy is blown away with the winds of the storm. You see, even in our temptations, trials, and testing, the scripture tells us that if we love the Lord, he's going to work it out. Y'all know that scripture. All things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. Short version, if you love the Lord, he will work it out. Do you believe it? You have to believe it to achieve it. You see, temptation is enticement or invitation to sin. You should know that Satan is the greatest tempter and God is the greatest deliverer. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. For God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That's word, y'all. And let me just tell you this. You know, this scripture here, a lot of times people will tell you, girl, don't worry about it because God put no more on you than you could bear. That is true. But let me tell you right now, that is not scripture. It is not in the Bible. But if you look for that scripture or think it's a scripture and try to find it, it's going to always bring you to 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. What this scripture is saying, first of all, nothing that's going on in any one of our lives, and I'm not talking about just you, I'm talking about us, nothing that's going in our life that we right now don't like, don't care for, you know, don't like the way it feels, don't like the way it look, nothing has happened to you that haven't already happened unto man. That's what the scripture says, but such is common to man. If it's happening to you, it didn't happen before. You're not the first, but we sit down and get all bent out of shape and we take everything so personal. It's not that personal. And God said, I will give you a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Trust him. You would think that the many trials that you have already experienced in life, I mean, look back over your life. Everybody look back over their own life, you know. And if they say that it's only a test and it's to bring us to maturity, you would think that all of the trials and the tribulation that we didn't already experience in our life, that we would be spiritually mature. But that's not always the case. You see, sometimes trials and temptations, trials, tribulation, temptation, they can make you bitter instead of making you better. And you have to watch out what you're allowing it to do. We have to know and believe the word of God, then have faith. Because if we do, then we can surely count it all joy. We have learned that trouble don't last always. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. With God on your side, whatever state that you are in right now, stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which is joy, and he will see you through. See the blessings that God has before you. You know, sometimes we looking and looking and looking and we looking in all the wrong places for all the wrong things, and we can't see the forest for the trees, so we can't see the blessings in God's deeds. See the salvation of the Lord. See what God is doing and operating in your life. You see, and if we go to the third verse, they say, know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Come on now, all of us need some patience. Well, I ain't going to say all of us because I don't know exactly where you are in your life, but I could say me. You know, we need patience. You see, they say, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. They say, what is saying? Let patient have a let patient do what patient does, but we don't know what patient does, and we never maybe thought about it, and we never really invited it in, and we didn't ask God to bless us with that. So do we really know? Because James is saying, if you let patient have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Sound like there's blessings in being patient to me. You see, the scripture states, knowing this, which means accepting it as a fact that your faith will work patience. So we see here that in order to have patience, we must work our faith. Y'all getting it? I can't even see the expressions on y'all face, but, you know, are you getting it? You know, James said, faith without works is dead. Faith is belief and someone or something. Some people put their faith and trust in their job or their money, their education, and even other people. And at some point, if you keep on living and you keep on putting your faith in these things, people, places, and things, I guarantee you that it could let you down. You see, as Christians, we should place our faith in Jesus Christ, for he is faithful. The Bible said that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Come on now. If you could see it, you don't have to have faith. So understand how precious faith is. We walk through the world and we have eyes and we could see. And all that we see is already there. It already is. But God said, what I'm going to give you is faith. And then he gave us a definition of the word faith in the Bible. It's the substance of things hoped for. So God said, everything you could see, you already got that, but I'm promising that I'm going to take care of what you can't. Love the word of God. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that the things that we cannot see and which is present and which is not present will come to pass, and we will have the victory. You see, that's faith. If you could see it, you don't need faith. Remember this. Faith in God is trusting that God is able to see you through in every situation that may come your way, not some but all. Not some but all. What the Bible say, pray with everything, with prayer and supplication, and make your request known unto God. Not some things, all things. You see, true faith should transform our conduct as well as our thoughts. You know, you have to ask yourself, are you being transformed or conformed by your faith? Tell me the working of your faith that you're doing. What changes are you really having? What thoughts are you really having? What have your faith done for you lately? Or what have you done for your faith lately? After saying that, we must now take a good look at what patience does and what patience is. You see, patience is accepting and waiting for a change to come. That's patience. Patience allow you to bear misfortunes, pains, annoyances, complaints, loss of temper, irritation, and all the like. You see, that's what you do when you're patient. You hold your peace. You wait. You don't jump to conclusion. You don't blow up. You don't do a 360 on a drop of a dime. You see, it is the ability, a willingness to surpass restlessness when confronted with delay. About patience now. I'm going to read that one again. It's the ability, a willingness to surpass restlessness when confronted with delay. What happens to you when you want something and you don't get it right then? You know. And what happens when you need something and it's not coming fast as you want? You know. You see, patience is quiet. It's calm. It's steady. It's even tempered, and it has diligence. We cannot, let me tell you this. You cannot, you know, you might say you patient. You might say you love the Lord. You might say you say sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You might say you do everything right, or you try and you do most things right. You know, you might believe that. You might be doing that. But let me tell you this. You do not know the depths of your character until you know how you will react under pressure. Let me give you an example. You know, in the Bible, you know, God, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper, and he spoke that someone would deny him, and he spoke about someone would deny him and someone would betray him. And, you know, the disciples asked who it was, and Peter with his, you know, little smart self, he said, you know, I know it ain't me. I would never, I'll die before I deny you. But lo and behold, when the rubber met the road and the heat got in the kitchen and they took Jesus and they wanted, you know, wasn't so fine about everybody was with him, and Peter didn't know what would have to go through, and he was on the mode of save yourself. And they asked Peter, wasn't you the one with him? And Peter said, no, not one time, not twice, but three times. And then the cock crowed. You see, you'll never, you know, under pressure tells the story. You see, God wants to make us mature, complete, perfect, and entire, which means whole, but not to keep us from pain. Jesus told us earlier that we will fall. So you got to understand that these trials, tribulations, and temptations that are happening in our lives, it's only a test. It's to make us mature. But you have to realize that, like I said earlier, some come from the devil. Some come from God. But guess what else? Some of the trials and tribulations that we have in our house, in our lives, they're self-made. You know, you went to job and you got the money to pay your light bill, but you took the light bill money and went to the casino. Self-inflicted wounds. You know, and so on and so on. That's just to give you an example. Not saying, you know, that's the worst thing against something else, but just giving an example. That's self-inflicted. You know, you need to have a job, but you don't feel like working because you're lazy, so you don't have money. You know, but you got a job and you had a job and you want to work and they lay you off. That's a trial and tribulation. You know, and that, you know, could be by God with the testing. And then you got to remember that some things in life just is. You know, when Hurricane Katrina came to the city, when that water and them levees broke, the water wet the Christian houses and the non-Christian. You understand? Some things is just going to happen. You can just happen to lose your job. The building could burn down and you're still without a job. But in the waiting and patient and trying to get from point A to point B and holding on to God's unchanging hand is what God likes to operate in to make you mature. You see, patience is a virtue of the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost came to live inside you once you accepted Christ as your Savior, he brought the fruit of the Spirit, and patience was in the package. And for those who don't know, there are nine fruits, and you can find it in the book of Galatians in the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse. When the Holy Ghost came to live in you, he brought those nine virtues. And the Holy Ghost is working on you to get them all operating together for your good. You see, love, peace, joy, patience, long-suffering. You see, if you could get all that in your life, You'll be dynamite. And that's the Holy Ghost living in you, trying to bring all of that to pass, to bring it forward, to bring it out of you, that you could be made perfect and complete, not wanting anything for to make you whole. You see, patience is working in you and with you in trials, allowing you to know that you will have the victory, which brings spiritual growth and maturity. Come on now. You looked at trial, tribulation in the face, and you call it what it is. You see, God allowed, look at this. God allowed Job to be tested, but he did it with a watchful eye. You see, all of that happened to Job, and God didn't orchestrate it, but he did allow it. You know, Satan wanted to test some of God's people, and God said Job is the one. And God allowed Satan to do all of this to Job, but God was right there because he said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And he was right there looking at it with a watchful eye, and even though Satan was able to do that, God had given it a man to what he couldn't do, and what God said he couldn't do, he couldn't do it. And soon as the test was over and Job passed the test, God restored him the even more. Come on now. Now we're in the verse 5. It says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God that has given all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given. And 6 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavered is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Don't be wavering, you guys. 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And this one is so, the close of this one is the 8th verse said, a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. And I know y'all know some double-minded people. You see, when we look at the word wisdom, the Bible said that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to discern. You know what discern is? To see what it's really about, to see the truth or the falsehood of things and people and places. Discernment. There's a spirit of discernment, and that's what you should be praying for in your life. Because you see, once you have wisdom, that's what gives you the ability to discern or to judge, which is true, right, or last in sight. Wisdom give us insight and discernment. Wisdom is common sense and good judgment. Wisdom gives you a wise outlook, a plan, and a course of action. I know that we all know some educated fools. They went to school. They did the work, but they don't have common sense to figure some things out, the simplest things in life. An intelligent person may have a profound idea, come on now, and get nowhere with it. But a wise person put profound ideas into action. A knowledgeable person may make a lot of money, but don't know how to manage it and loses all that he gained. You see, but a wise person can take a little, yet manage well and gain a lot and keep it all. Hallelujah. Come on now. It's never how much you make, but it's what you do with it. We know that common sense is not as common to some people. When they say common sense, you think everybody got it, but common sense is not as common as you think. You got to watch out with wisdom. Remember what they said, wisdom is the beginning. Wisdom is the beginning, the fear of God. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And if you want wisdom, you have to ask God. You see, because there is no school of wisdom. Do you know anybody got a degree in wisdom? There's no wisdom degree offered or no course to achieve a Ph.D. in wisdom. That's amazing, huh? Think about it. Wisdom comes only from God, and he gives it liberally and freely to all that acts. He will not hold wisdom from you because we have not because we ask not. And you have to ask yourself this tonight. You don't have to raise your hand because none of us will be able to see it. But ask yourself how many times you ask God to give you wisdom. We have to learn how to pray. The Word of God teaches us what we need to do and what we need to say. How many people, how many of you all have ever asked for God to give you wisdom? How many of you ever asked God to give you patience? How many of you ever asked God to give you joy? You see, in asking God, we must line our requests up with the will of God. There are certain things that are out of the will of God that God will not dwell in. We must be confident that God will align our desires with his purpose. You see, God gave each and every one of us a purpose, and if he gave us a purpose, he already made the provisions. So what he's doing with the purpose and the provisions, he's lining you up with his will. But you got to let him. You got to submit. You got to obey. You see, a double-minded man is unstable. Jesus said the same thing when he spoke in Matthew's. He said, Matthew 6:24, if you would like to write it down, no man can serve two masters, for either they will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve mammon, which means man, and God. Your loyalty to God cannot be divided with anyone or anything. Being double-minded is like a drunk man, unstable and unable to walk a straight line, swaggering one way then another. You know, you cannot get no sense out of somebody drunk. You cannot. It's just a bad state, and that's how we have to be. Either we love God or we don't. Either we trust God or we don't. You know, we have no, you know, a drunk man don't have no defined direction, and as a result, he really doesn't get anywhere. You know, God and the things of this world are of such opposite in nature that it is impossible to love either one completely without hating the other. And I'm going to read that again. God and the things of this world. That's why God told us we're going to be in the world but not of the world. And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but we should be maturing day by day. We should be growing day by day. Some of the things we know that's not of God, we should be working on getting them out of our lives, because you cannot totally love God all the way and love the world halfway. That's lukewarm. That's double-minded. You see, God and the things of this world are of such opposite in nature that it is impossible to either love one completely without hating the other. We are told that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And let me tell you something, you better remember, because God is a jealous God, and God will not accept a service that is divided with Satan, people, places, and things. So as I get ready to close this program on tonight, I just pray and hope that all of us realize who we are, because you'll never know who you are until you know who your maker is. That's why so many people in the world is looking for love in all these wrong places, while they're allowing themselves to be a part of anything that they know is not right, and they know it's just not good, but they done did it so much they compromised their spirit and it began to be all right, because now they done accepted those things as their perception, and they're not paying attention, and Satan done turned around and made it your reality, and then you can make excuses for it. You could turn around and say it's not that bad, and God forbid, I pray you don't line yourself up with Mary, because you see, that's what everybody doing. You know, I'm not as bad as Mary, but you know, I don't do what they do, you know, but you have to judge and look at yourself and see what you're doing, because you see, you're going to have trials and tribulation, and God said, I got your back. He said, but I just want you to be obedient. I want you to put me first. I want you to deal with patience. I want you to work your faith. All that is said in the book of James, because your trials and your tribulation is going to come. You know, We got so many deaths going on, and people say, why you let my mama die? Why you let my child die? We already know because the word of God said we all born to die. And I'm going to tell you something about death. You don't know when. You don't know why. Let me say it again. Tell you something about death. You don't know when, and you don't know how, but you sure enough know why if you know the word of God, because all man is born to die because once sin entered the world. Hold on to God, unchanged his hand. No matter what you're going through, everybody's going through different things, and you may think yours the worst, but the word of God told us tonight that nothing has happened to you that haven't happened to man. And God will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear, and he will give you a way to escape. Hold on to that. But the next thing is study the word of God and pray. See, you got to work that faith. See, working your faith is praying, and working your faith is studying, and working your faith is asking God to work in you. And let me tell you something, and I'm going to close. God did never put nothing on you to really accomplish, because there's a scripture where God said, he said, it's I, talking about himself, that's going to work in you. It's not how good we could be. It's not good how we could speak. It's not good how we could sing. Didn't Paul tell us that, you know, we're saved by grace? We're not working to be saved. You know, the Bible says that our works is filthy dish rag, should any man boast. God wants you to be matured. God wants you to be an example for him on earth. God wants your light to so shine that men may see the good works and glorify the Father. Everybody living on earth, God wants them to reign with him in heaven, but everybody haven't accepted him. And if you say you accepting him, then you got a job and you got a duty to tell somebody else. So as I close, I just want you to know that James was letting us know that we will have trials, temptation, adversities, and it will be in our lives. If we apply the word of God in time of trouble, we will succeed. James said we should take our trials and temptations with joy, realizing that God is in total control. Remember what else? God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. Come on now. And also, God is in total control. Use patience in dealing with all situations in your life. Just because we love the Lord, we will still have trials and temptations in our lives. But I want you to know that it's only a test. And do not fool yourself. You know, people tell me plenty of times, well, I paid my tithes, but yet my car keep breaking. God ain't no trick. God own everything. I go to church every Sunday. Why I'm having problems? God say I shine on the just as well as the unjust. And James just told us all of us going to have trials and tribulation. And it does not mean that God loves you less. And if God is letting it happen or orchestrated in your life, he's trying to get you to maturity. And if you pass the test the first time, you won't keep failing the test over and over and over and over and over the same test. Come on now. So use the word of God and be blessed. If you go back and you read the book of James and you look over it again, you ask yourself, what is God talking to me about in this book? And you go on in Jesus' name. And that's the lesson for tonight. And if anybody would like to make any comments, concerns, pray, or anything, oh, we got some one buttons pressed. But before I answer the one buttons, thank you, callers. Hold on, I'm coming to you. Before I press the one button, I want each and every one to be prayerful for my stepmom, Miss Dorothy Ward. Today she had a birthday and we had a quiet, peaceful, beautiful celebration. She made 87 years old. She's still able to live in our house. She's still able to do the things she needs to do for herself. That's a blessing. The Bible promised the scores and 10, 3 scores and 10, and she done passed that. And the word of God say he promised that, but if you might live longer than that, by might. So I'm just asking everybody to be prayerful for Dorothy Ward, that she could keep holding on to God's unchanging hand, and she made 70. Well, I have 2 callers, and I'm going to get to each one of you, so just hold on. But right now I'm going to call a 225-614-14. Caller, your mic is on. Caller 225-614, Lolita Taylor. Maybe the button pressed by mistakes. But I have another caller. 504-908, your line is open. 504-908. Rosemary Coleman, your line is open. Well, maybe she pressed the one button by mistake as well. Is it anyone else would like to say anything, any comments, concern? Would you like to give some more insight to the lesson? Because you could say something that I didn't say, that God touched you, and you could share it with everybody because, you know, I don't know everything, and I can only give you information, and the Holy Ghost give you illumination and revelation, and it could be something that you say in a way that you say that can help someone else. So if anybody would like to say anything at this time, you may say it. Well, I always try to finish in 1 hour, and it is 9:24. If someone would like to lead us out with prayer, you can do so. If not, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I'm going to play some music because a lot of people stay on the line once the lesson is over for music. So would anyone love to pray and close the session out tonight? Remember, it's our Bible study. Lolita Taylor? Rosemary? Their numbers must have just, their phone must have opened by mistake. So we're going to go ahead and pray and close out with a benediction prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your word. Lord, I pray that the word don't return void and it goes out and accomplish what you have for it to do. Bless each and every person that was on the line, dear God, and anyone that listened through the internet. Lord, we all have trials and tribulations, and we have temptations in our lives. But hopefully we could use the word of God to go through them because it is only a test. And they say that the battle is not ours, but it's yours. God, you say you put no more on us, then you will not give us a way to escape. And nothing that ever happens to us haven't already happened to someone else. And for that, we say thank you, dear God, because that we can trust you, dear God. And Heavenly Father, as we close out tonight, I pray that you be with everyone that called in and listened in and that you be with them through this week. Give them favor, dear God. Give them protection. Give them strength. Give them energy, dear God. Teach them patience, dear God, and help them to understand through wisdom. Heavenly Father, this is my prayer. It's not my will, but your will gonna be done. And, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. And I pray that each and every one come back on next week. I pray it was something that you could use. I pray that you will go back into the book of James and read it and study it for yourself. And I look forward to being with you on next week. I want you to keep in mind that God loves you, and so do I. And the lesson next week is going to be on one of the worst sins of the world is the sin of ingratitude. I pray that you be with me on next week and I be with you guys. And until then, God bless you and keep you till we meet again. I'm going to play the music, but I'm going to still be looking at in the studio. And if somebody decides at the time to say something, then they could say it and I'll still open the mic. So I'm going and play some more music and we'll be back. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to have to put something else on for you guys. Here. There you go. Well, I'm going to just take that off altogether. So... this is a record from Kirk Franklin, Imagine. Here we go.
Thank you. people like me. Those that struggle with insecurities, acceptance, and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough. You never felt pretty enough. But imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that has happened is now.
And this is our lesson for tonight. I pray that God be with you until we meet again. And God truly loves you, and so do I. See you back on next Wednesday if the Lord said the same. And be blessed.